We're very blessed today to have with us Abuna Ammonius Gerges. Abuna is Abuna Antasuni Salwa. They're visiting us from the Church of St. Mark in Toronto. That's a second home for me. So I've known Abuna Ammonius even before being a priest, and he was the priest in St. Mark. St. Mark, actually one of the oldest churches in North America. And Abuna serving was Abuna Morus, who's the first priest in North America. Abuna had a great, wonderful ministry in Toronto, and I served with him just for a little bit. It was just a great example and like a true father of shepherdhood, and he's like from a priesthood family. So he's of course covering for Abuna Anthony, and we're very happy to have him, and he's gonna give the word. I just wanted to let you know that Abuna's with us, and we're taking his blessings today.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. First of all, I would like to thank Abuna Bishoy, my father, for his kind words that I do not really deserve. God may bless his ministry along with Father Anthony, and God may bless the entire congregation of this great church here in Washington. It is indeed a great blessing for me to be here with you. This is my first time here. Last night I spent some time with some of your deacons and some of members of your congregations. I was so blessed and I was so uplifted by their spirituality and their hospitality. God bless you all. And usually the congregation reflect, the members of the congregation reflect the spirit of their priests, of course. God bless you all. Today is the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Baba. And the four Gospels that we read during the entire month depict to us the power of Christ as a Savior and showed us his dominion and his control over sickness and over nature and over demon-possessed people or over the evil spirits. And then today, the gospel is showing us God's control even over death. Those of you who come here every Sunday and follow closely the gospel readings, they will still remember that on the first Sunday of Baba, the church offered to us the miracle of healing the paralyzed man who was actually carried by four of his friends or some of his friends, and they lowered him in front of our Jesus Christ to heal him. So that shows us our Lord's power and control over sickness. Okay. And then the second Sunday of Baba, again to follow the same theme, the church told us about the miracle of catching a lot of fish when our Lord Jesus Christ visited Peter, who told him, "We have toiled and labored all night long to no avail. We didn't catch anything." And then our Lord, once he was there, told him to go into the deep, and he had a great catch. And then the third, that's last Sunday, the third Sunday, they brought to Jesus someone who was demon-possessed. And he was dumb, he couldn't even say anything, and he was blind. And God healed him. And he said, any house or any kingdom that's divided upon itself will be desolate, cannot actually sustain any challenges. And today, God saw a widow who was going to bury her only son. This is the widow of Nain. And God had compassion on her. And he stopped the funeral procession and he brought back to life her son. So in each and every Sunday, just to put one comprehensive theme for the entire month of Baba, we see that God, through his power over sickness, over the nature, over the devil, and again over death itself, is calling to him all sinners, because this is the real power, that he could forgive sins. And every time he's calling sinners to him, we see that he would like us, the servants, to help him in this regard. God doesn't like to work by himself. Out of his ultimate love to mankind, he would like to use us as his assistants, as his helpers in winning souls to him. So the first Sunday, if you remember, everyone was waiting for him to perform a miracle, to make the paralyzed man walk. But the gospel showed us that there were some great servants working with the paralyzed man. Who were the servants in that case? His friends who carried him. But he did a great thing. That's what a servant should do. A servant should not do nothing but bring souls to Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will actually finish the job for us. Sometimes we work so hard and we try to win souls to our Lord Jesus Christ, but we do it through our own power, and we fail miserably. But if you bring those souls to Christ, he will heal them, and he will actually win them over. We try single-handedly to win them, and that's why we fail. So God wants us to help him in his ministry, but not actually to take control over his role, never. God wants us to work in a very modest way, as servants, as Sunday school counselors, as youth counselors, to bring souls to him. And God, once you make every soul meet her Savior, then the soul will be healed. And they were waiting for a miracle to happen. But the real miracle is, and the real power is, God's dominion over sins and over the devil. And before he healed the paralyzed man, he told him, your sins are forgiven. Because this is the root cause of all our sicknesses, maybe. So we have here our Lord in control, and we have some people helping him. And every time we see that, or every time the church gave us a gospel reading, it was actually preceded, or it was accompanied by another reading about the sea. What's the role of the sea here? The sea, in its saltiness and stormy nature, represents the world that we live in. Okay, so we have now two fronts here. We have our Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples, with his servants, who would like to win the souls to him and bring them to heaven. And we have the world on the other side, which is stormy circumstances around us. There's a lot of turbulences around us. And the sea would like to engulf us with its saltiness, with its evil, and drown us. The great deacon who read the Pauline epistle today told us about the effect of the riches of the world here. It says, people who go after the riches of the world here, they will be actually inflicted by many bad things that will drown them. The word drown was used there because the word here is like a sea that was trying actually to wash us off completely. And every deacon here, before actually they put on their tunics, they pray one of the Psalms, and they say that the rivers raise their voices. Okay, and then they talk about the mighty sea. So they are saying, we are servants of Christ, we're going to raise our voices with praise. But we realize that there is a mighty sea coming. But the Lord is up high, is mightier than the sea itself. And this is what the month of Baba is trying to actually present to us, to show us, that these two opposing powers are working while we are in the middle. There is the temptation. There are the temptations coming from the sea, the world around us, and there is our Savior waiting for us to come to Him, to accept us, to forgive our sins. Which way are you going to take? Are you going to be engulfed? Are you going to be completely covered by the stormy sea, or you are going to follow our Lord Jesus Christ? The first one was so paralyzed. He can't even walk to our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you see a sinner, you do not actually despise him or point the finger at him and say, you are a sinful person. No. He needs someone being paralyzed by sin, needs someone to lead him to whom? To our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Gospels of this month actually give a great role and significance to all the people who help God in this regard. And each and every one of us could be a disciple of Christ, to take a paralyzed one, someone who's sinful, and bring him to our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, in the first Sunday of this month, do you recall the evangelist naming them or saying anything about the people who carried the paralyzed man? None. This is another important feature about the people who serve. They don't like to be known. They would like to actually hide themselves behind Christ and put Christ up front. That's the most important thing. So, again, before that reading, the church read for us during the Vespers, raising of incense, reading about the feeding of the multitude, the two fishes and the five loaves that were used. This come from the sea. God will fish some people and use them as his servants. And it will be a great blessing. Servants are supposed to be blessing to the multitudes. Then came the second Sunday. Now it's concentrating on the servants themselves, because God would like them to have a big catch. We said the catch are the fish in the sea, the storm sea, and would like to fish them and bring them to our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they will be swallowed by some bigger evil fish in this stormy sea. So God came, and Peter was there, and he said, we have toiled all night long to no avail. We didn't catch anything. And God told him, there's something else. I would like you to go into the deep. Remember the first Sunday, how God uses us as his disciples to catch the fish he would like to catch. But this time, he wanted to, first time, as you remember, no names, nothing. People who serve the Lord should not glorify themselves, none whatsoever. And this time, it could be against your own experience, your own professionalism. Say, this is the way it should be done. This is the way I should do it. And God may have a different plan completely for you. Peter, as a professional fisherman, he knows that fish always exists. If you're going to cast a net, fish always exists in the shallow water. And then our Lord came to him to challenge his professionalism. Told him, no. I'd like you to go into the deep. I would like you to be deeper in your ministry, to pray harder, to study, to mention all the people that you serve in your prayers all the time. If you cannot have the depth inside yourself, you cannot convey God's message to other people. If you're not affected yourself, if you don't have something, you can't give it to other people. So you have to have the depth inside you. Go into the deep. Said, God, how could I do that? It's against all the rules that we have learned. But upon thy word, I will cast my net. How many of us will do that? It seems so hard, dear Lord, to serve, to win souls. How could I do that? But you should be obedient. Say, because you called me, dear Lord, upon thy word, I will cast my net. And you will definitely have a great catch. And he went into the deep and he had a great catch. Huge. God is telling us, I would like to use my disciples, but I'd like them to be modest, even if it challenges their own worldly experiences. I have my own experience. They have to have faith in me. They have to tell me, yes, according to thy word, we're going to cast our nets, and only then you will have a great catch. So God still fighting against the sea, the stormy sea, the turbulent sea, which is the word, and winning souls. And here the win was great. The catch was great. But again, talking about the sea here, this was preceded by another gospel reading during the Vespers. Remember the story about paying the taxes, and our Lord told Peter, go and take your rod, fishing rod, and do what? And catch a fish, and there when you open the fish, you'll find the coin, bring it to me, and we'll pay taxes. So God is telling us that while I'm catching a huge amount of fish, each and every one has a role to do. Don't consider yourself, after being saved from the sea, as a number in the church. No, you're not a number. Each and every one of us has a specific role to play. There is one certain fish there that is going to play an important role. And sometimes the fisherman will use the net to catch in like clusters of fish. But sometimes he will use the rod, because God is going after one single soul to save that soul. It's like walking for a long distance for the Samaritan woman just to meet her. Or Nicodemus. God is working on people personally and collectively. God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. As we say in Arabic, Allah yurid an al-jami' yakhlusun wa la ma'rifat al-haq yuqbalun. But this doesn't make any one of us just a number, like in society. We have in Canada what they call a social insurance number. You go anywhere, I think it's called here national security number or something like that. Social security number. So everyone here is a number. You don't have that card, you're nothing. But you're nobody. But in God's plans is different. He likes all of us to be present, and each and every one of us, He knows us by name. And each one has a role to play. So pray to God and say, how could I serve you, dear Lord? How could I be like that fish that actually made a great difference? You were after one fish and you send a servant to catch it by the rod, not by the net, to serve a certain purpose. Do you remember the third Sunday was God's control over what? The first one, God's control over sickness. Second one, God's control over nature, the sea. And the third one, who remembers? Third one was over demons. Very good. Said, once I have my catch here, no divisions. I would like you to be one community. You represent the body of Christ. Anything that's divided will become desolate. No division. And here's an example. A man who was sinful, or because of the demon's power over him, he was divided. A sinful man, someone who would hurt himself, would throw himself into fire or into water, as this man did. Or he would be dumb. He cannot say anything. He cannot praise the Lord, because he's being controlled by the word, by the songs of the word, not the hymns of the church. He cannot praise the Lord. Okay, and he's blind because of the sins that he's suffering from. He can't see God's light, but God healed him from all his sicknesses. After being like someone who is mentally ill, God healed him. The demons have no power over him. And now he can see and he can praise the Lord, and he stayed with the Lord. So, this one here, again, the sea was mentioned in the Vespers reading. But this time, the church presented to us the story about our Lord being, or seems to be, asleep in the ship, and there was storm outside. They were in the middle of the tempest, and they needed someone to save them. They were just about to be drowned. And they said, "Are you sleeping here? And we're drowning? Say something." He said, "You are of little faith. If I am in your ship, you should always be comforted, and you should be sound and safe." And that's what we say every night before we sleep. We say a psalm in the compliment prayer. And we tell God, "Look at me as you looked at David and all his meekness. I will never go to my bed or give rest, okay, to myself or to my temple, or go and have sleep without having you in my heart, dear Lord. Before I sleep, you should be resting inside my heart." And then the Lord will answer us in the same psalm, and he will say, "God has chosen Zion. This is my place of rest." Then once he's in your ship, you can sleep peacefully, no trouble whatsoever, and have the happiest dreams ever. So the mighty sea will try to work against his disciples, but God will come at the right time, and he will quell the sea. And that's exactly what he did. But he wants all of us, after being saved, after coming here, he wants us, being his people, who's working on our final salvation, to be united, to be one congregation. That's very important. So to mark us as his disciples, he said, "This is the very mark that people will know that you are my disciples, when you do what to one another? When you love one another." So you cannot claim to be God's disciple or his follower unless you're working towards unity of the church. Okay. Now the catch is still great, but again, we're having resistance from the sea all the time. Today, let's say all these people represented sinners. Someone was paralyzed and he needed some help. So the disciples had some, or God's servant has some role to play. And they presented to him as well, by relatives, the man who was demon possessed, and he healed him, and he saved him from the mighty sea. Okay, but this time, it seems that when you look at it, there's no hope. The lady is a widow, she doesn't have a husband, she's helpless, and she has only one son. And the son is already dead, and they're going to bury him. What could you think of? And this was followed by another, or preceded by another story about the sea. People who came here last night, they must have heard the gospel reading about, again, the disciples being in the ship, and the Lord told them, made them go into the sea, as telling us, "Don't be afraid of the sea. Yes, there are some mighty people out there." Last night we were talking with some people about evangelism, about preaching, and say the real challenge is to make a catch right here. In the society that we live in, with so many challenges against us, could we convert people and bring them here to church? Or we became selfish and we say, "No, we're just a Coptic community, we're self-sufficient, and we're closed community here, we don't like any strangers to come." See, God wants you to be like Peter when he was sent by a fishing rod to pick someone. How many of us, to maintain the unity that we're talking about here in the church, said any house that's divided upon itself will be desolate, right? When you see a stranger, how many of us would go after the divine liturgy and introduce yourself and say, "Who are you? I'm such and such. It's so nice to see you. This is the first time I see you here. You're most welcome to our church." How many of us do that? Mostly we stick to our buddies and we talk about them. And a stranger will feel so alienated. If he comes here for the first time, maybe he wouldn't come for the second time. Maybe we leave this job for Abuna to do. No, each and every one of us, according to the readings of the month of Baba, is a disciple of Christ, and he should help in the work of mission. Each and every one of us. Remember that. I hope some of you will come and introduce themselves to myself, because I am a new one here to this church. That would be great, because I love you all. So they were in the sea, and there was a storm again. And this time God sent them alone. The first time he was sleeping where? In the ship itself, in the bottom of the ship. This time he sent them. They are in the sea on their own. Sometimes we feel like this. God, have you left us abandoned here? Never. But we are in the midst of the sea. And the sea is stormy, and the Lord is on the shore. How can we be saved? We can think of anything. You see, we'll use our professionalism again. Maybe we can send like a wireless signal and SOS, and someone will send us a helicopter or something and will save us. But they didn't have all these fancy inventions back then. This is our way of thinking. How could we be saved? It's against all our knowledge, against all our experiences. We know that water doesn't have enough density to hold any human being. But the Lord came, and came when? At the very last watch, the fourth watch. Came in which way? Walking on water. Walking on water in a way that nobody could expect. It was a hopeless case. How could anyone be saved in such situation? But God always looks after his disciples who are faithful to him and make their missions successful all the time. Came on water with some encouraging words. Be of good cheer. Why are you miserable when you serve? Because you have some challenges? You are of little faith. I will come at the very last minute. I will come even walking on water. Is this not enough for you? I'll make you walk on water like me. Walk. But again, once you start to doubt, once you start to look into the stormy sea, what's going to happen to you like Peter? You start to drown. Look at me, and always teach other people to look at me. This is the way you could walk on water and perform miracles too. Have faith in me. The stormy sea will never have any power over you. You cannot be drowned by the sea once you follow me and look at me in the eye all the time. Set your eyes on me. Make me your goal. And you will always be a winner as a disciple. And here we have today the widow of Nain, the most helpless woman, and her only son is dead. But this time, remember, every time God is trying to tell us, I know where the sinners are and I'm after them. And sometimes I will tell you as my disciples to step aside. I'll do the job from A to Z. No one asked him. The first time, remember the paralyzed man? His friends asked him. Actually, they did a great effort. They made a hole in the ceiling and they dropped their friend, right? And the demon-possessed person was presented to him too. But this time, or even every time that God restored someone back to life, three times, remember them? Lazarus, who asked God to bring Lazarus back to life? His sisters, right? Mary and Martha. And we have the daughter of Jairus, Ibn Jairus. And her father asked, some people asked, but this time, no one asked anything. He saw the funeral himself, and then what happened? He stopped the procession, and he had compassion on them. And this is another thing we should learn as disciples of Christ. And God put for us a rule. When he went to win the Samaritan woman, In the story, he gave us a golden rule. He said, others have labored and you have entered into their labor. أخرون تعبوا in Arabic وأنتم دخلتم على إيه؟ تعب. And this should be the rule here. Don't ask for a credit because God does everything when it comes to ministry. Sometimes when you do something in the church, you would like someone to give you a pat on the shoulder. Great man. Great servant. You've done a great job and we'll all applaud you. I'd like to come here on the podium. And people recognize you. Then you're not a disciple of Christ. Because the rule here that we labor and we labor hard, and some other people could come and get the credit, no problem. But my real credit is where? Is up there in heaven. Your Father who sees you privately will award you openly. And no one here can take the credit for God's compassion. He came by himself because he saw the situation. And this was dead. So if you're sinful and think you're paralyzed, God will heal you physically and spiritually. If you're a servant and you have toiled all night long without any catch, let the Lord come into your ship and you'll have a great blessing and great catch. If sin had already silenced you, you cannot praise the Lord. And the devil has so much power over you, and you cannot even see God's light, don't worry. Someone will lead you to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are totally dead spiritually, God will have compassion upon you, and he will come one day and try to bring you back to life, but you have a role to do. What's your role? Once you listen to his voice, do not stiffen your heart. God will have compassion upon us and will give us a chance after chance. But when he comes to knock on our door, he knocks only. But you have to do something. If he's knocking, he will never break into your house. What is he expecting us to do? To get up and do what? Open the door. And then he will come into our homes and he will have supper with us. So during the month of Baba, the church showed us the mighty God who has power over sickness, over nature, over demons, and over death even. But after all, we have to be responsive and we have to have faith in him and open the door for him. Even if we are dead, God will have compassion. And once we listen to him, he will come into our life and will have supper with us, and we will be with him, we will be his people. Glory be to his name forever and ever. Amen.